those of you who know me know that it's really not my thing to stand in front of a group of people and talk, but I'm doing this because it's for Tina. I met Tina in 1986, and like Carol said, I was scared of her too. And then we were bartenders together at an art com party, and we were putting ice in drinks or something and talking about her daughters and her horse, and suddenly I wasn't scared of her anymore because she was a real person. And then many years later, 7 years ago, I said to her, well, I think I'm going to go into teaching. And she said, and this is a direct quote from Tina, she said, are you fucking nuts? And then she proceeded to berate me for like 25 minutes of why teaching was the worst thing I could possibly do with my life. And I got really defensive and like mad at her, and I just stood up and I just said all the reasons I was going to be a teacher, and I was all indignant. And then I kind of got pissed off at her. And then when I got home that night, there was email from her, and she said, "You're going to make a great teacher." So, now, as all these teachers here know, I'm in the throes of getting my classroom ready and craziness about curriculum planning, but I know this is going to be a great year as a teacher because I'm dedicating this year to Tina. So thank you, Tina.
Hello. My name's Robin Ramsey, and I also am a member of the... I met Tina in 1986 and was pretty intimidated group. But I'd like to say a couple of things about those years. I moved to Berkeley in June of 1986 to Parker Street, and I started working at the Well in October of that year. And Tina was one of the very first people, being both a neighbor and an early Well person, that I got to know. Her daughters, being neighbors, helped with both some of the Well administrative paperwork, and also with my dog. I had a dog, Medley, who some of you remember, and Sabra was old enough and responsible enough to have a key and come in, come to the apartment in the afternoon when I was working in Sausalito, and take the dog out, and it felt really good to start to be part of a neighborhood in a time, you know, kids not having the kinds of jobs like paper routes and mowing lawns and so on. And that was how I started a little bit to get over that intimidation, was knowing her as a mother and a neighbor. And one of the things I want to say is, for so many of you here who have been to so many Sing Things over the years, Sing Things I think are close to 20 years old now, Tina hosted the very first Sing Thing. It was just a casual get together. David is the only person that I know for sure who was there. I don't remember who else. Eric?
Rhino was there.
And it was on a probably Friday or Saturday night. I think it went on past midnight. It was getting on to be 12:30, 1 o'clock, and finally the recognition that there were upstairs neighbors had to prevail. And then Reva and Jerry were kind enough to take on the tradition, but the very first one was in Tina's home. And the other thing I want to say is something that Tina posted once in the early days of being with Eric. I saw this online, and it was such a concise summary of taking pleasure and priorities in life. And she posted, this was in a relationship topic somewhere, about how delightful it was to spend time with someone that you love in bed, and what she was talking about was eating chocolate and watermelon. And what she said about that was, life is short and sheets are made to be washed.
I'm Rick Elswit, and I met Tina on the well. In fact, a brunch at her apartment was one of the first get-togethers I ever went to. This must have been back in 1990. And she was nice to me right off the bat. I mean, I guess I hear these fierceness, you know. She was a softie at heart. She had an armor. But the thing about Tina, she wasn't part of my day-to-day life, but she was there every day. What she was for me was conversations, dinner, wine, good times on a regular basis, and an inspiration to be better. I don't feel like I've ever been a naturally good person. I am a reflection of who I'm around and who I admire. And she is one of the quality people that thinking about her and being with her brought out the best in me. And I look around here at this group and I'm seeing that she did that for all of us. She brought out the best in us. Thanks, Tina.
I'll be real quick. I'm Drew Trott, also from the well. I want to tell the story about the Team Tina t-shirts that some of us are wearing. These were issued at the end of Tina's first round with cancer, when she had beaten breast cancer and was kind enough to invite a bunch of us there that she was kind enough to say had been instrumental. And we were all issued these shirts. And when round two came around, we all got the shirts out again. And I don't know how many of us put them on, but I know that many of us went and found them and put them in a place where we'd see them a lot. And looked forward to another party where we'd get to wear them. I think we hoped it wouldn't be this party. But I go back with Tina to the beginning of my well time. I also owe her a terrific debt for helping me to get into the community, helping to make it easy. And the thing about Tina that I want to stand up here and thank her for is that she wasn't just a friend to me, she was a champion. I was having a lot of trouble in those days and a lot of parts of my life. And Tina looked for ways to take up arms on my behalf. Sometimes they were a little bit silly. If I told her I was having trouble with a woman, she'd offer to talk to her for me. And I wasn't sure that was... It was not a completely serious offer. I did want to say about the shirt that when I got here today, I immediately spilled coffee all over it, and that would be bad enough, but the thing that Tina would have found unforgivable and that forced me to go up and spend 15 minutes laundering it in the restroom is that the coffee was mostly decaf. Thanks, Tina.